You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. Ken and Jeff in the studio, back at ya, just like last week. No Neil, no Matt.
Yeah. We're doing okay, though.
They had a party and did not invite us, is what they're doing exactly today.
So. And you know what? That's good for them.
Because we're having our own party here. Isn't that right?
It's true. If you said, would you rather go to a party where you don't have trivia or a party with trivia, I'm always going to say the party with trivia.
That's right. And we invited our own guests.
Which is why I don't get invited to a lot of parties anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Unless they're trivia parties or trivia murder parties, which are my favorite kind.
The best kind.
Yeah. But we invited our own guests, and we've got a lot of them today. First, we want to introduce Jen. She's an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, which we greatly appreciate, and she's from Orange County. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Can you give us a little rundown all about you?
Sure thing. I'm Jen. I live in Orange County, California, and I'm a crime and intelligence analyst for a local PD during the day, and I do trivia by night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you solve more crime by night than you do during the day.
That would be like clever.
Wearing a mask and jumping from building to building with a grappling hook, something like that.
Moonlight, vigilante.
Yeah, some vigilante justice going on there.
Exactly. Sometimes the computer work just doesn't, you know, satisfy that itch to solve crime.
Well, sometimes you just have to take it into your own hands. You're at Coffee Conglomerate and they ask you for your name and they put two N's and you only wanted one for your gen, and you just got to get your revenge. So
that's true. Well, our next guest is Matt Iguchi. He is from Portland, Oregon, also an Oakland 5 supporter, maybe an Oregon 5 supporter. We'll see. But we greatly appreciate that. And welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, guys. I'm a pharmacist out here in Portland, Oregon. I would say I also play trivia by night, but haven't been doing much of that in a long time. But we've been listening to you for a while.
Oh, thank you so much for finally joining us. And maybe once the corona subsides a little bit more, you can get back out there, play some trivia. And it's nice to have another Matt on the show.
It's true. We have an abundance of Matts.
Anytime Matt is, you know, Matt the robot is missing, we fill his shoes with another Matt.
Yes, it's weirdly part of his contract.
But our host today, Don Puckett, not a robot like Matt, but he's from Portage, Michigan. Welcome to the show, and thank you for writing today's game.
Thanks for having me. All right, well, like you said, I'm from Portage, Michigan. I am a technology director for a local school. And yeah, I started writing my own trivia during COVID, ran my own games. And now I get out. We still have trivia around here in Michigan, thank goodness. So I'm able to get out and play about once a week.
That's great. And you're live hosting these days?
Not yet. Hopefully at a board game cafe coming soon.
Nice. Very nice. And please let us know when that launches, and we'll be sure to have you back.
I will.
Sounds great way to spend your time in COVID, Ken. I don't think we did anything nearly as productive.
That's true. That's true. I didn't do much at all, to be honest. We're happy to have Jen and Matt competing against us today. And you had a great team name. Why don't you tell us what that is?
I think we're going to be going as Jen and Juice.
Jen and Juice, because Matt's nickname is apparently Juice now.
100%, yeah.
And
it's a West Coast thing, so.
There you go. And since we're going off the juice vibe, we're going to be team, me and Jeff are going to be team not worth the squeeze, because that's what we came up with. But before we go up against each other, we got to hear the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
All right, now we know how to play. I think we forgot a little bit, right?
But yeah, now we remember. It's been a while.
Yeah. Don, why don't you take it away with question one? We can dig in.
All right, here we go. I didn't mention, but I'm a little bit of a Disney junkie, so you might see a little of that in the game, and we're going to start that with the first question in the category is Disney princesses. The oldest Disney princesses are Tiana and Cinderella at age 19, but who is the youngest at age 14?
Okay. We'll lock in.
Okay. I was thinking the little Brave girl, right? Isn't she like pretty young? Isn't she like a child?
So,
Liana?
Merida, right?
Okay. Do you think that, or what are you thinking?
I was trying to remember who the princesses are, because like there's a very, if Don's a big Disney fan, he's probably like,
he's going
one of
deep.
Those that's very particular about like, no, she's not a princess. So,
right. Well, she is, right? Isn't she like a Scottish princess or something?
I couldn't remember. I was thinking Belle, because she comes off as like a child prodigy. I mean, the entire town thinks she's some kind of savant just because she likes books.
I think it's because she's not illiterate, but.
Well, that's my guess. I don't
feel strongly about Belle, so I'm okay with Merida. We'll lock that
okay.
in.
Okay.
All right. So originally I was thinking Mulan, because we know she's pretty young. Maybe even Pocahontas. Historically, Pocahontas was pretty young. But Ken wrote down, what about Wreck-It Ralph? And I do think Vanellope von Schweetz is quite young. So
the sneaky princess who we kind of forget is a princess.
So we locked in with Vanellope von Schweetz.
All right. Well, in my categorization, she is not a Disney princess. She's a Pixar princess. So Snow White is age 14. That would be the youngest. Merida is 16. Jasmine's 15. Belle is 17. So they're all over the place.
We went too deep.
Too deep.
Dang.
And that's just like some 41, level. We also are irrelevant.
Oh.
All right. Question two. Category is Halloween. As Halloween is near and we have an upcoming release of yet another Halloween movie featuring the lovable killer, Michael Myers, Michael has done things that no man has done before, all while wearing the mask. What famous actor is this mask based upon?
I can lock this in, Jen.
Yeah, so this is, I believe, since the first Halloween was kind of low budget, they did not sculpt the mask itself, but they just painted a mask. I believe that was of William Shatner, right? Captain Kirk. So we're going to say William Shatner.
Yeah, I agree. William Shatner, they painted it white, low budget.
Yep, that's what I thought too.
Yep, that's correct. William Shatner. Yep, they grabbed a shot in our
mouth. Not as cool as John Glenn. Just saying.
He's much older than I thought he was.
Yeah, too. He's 90. That's insane. You didn't know that?
No. Yeah. He's had a lot of work.
Oh, I'm sure. So if I had Shatner money, good. I would look like I was 12.
That's right. 12?
Well, he doesn't need work. You just grab a mask. You can wear that.
There you go. Put on his own Shatner mask.
Well, if you took like 20 years off me, Ken, you know, that's what I was getting at.
All right. Question three. U.S. presidents. No, it's not Adams.
Not Adams, as I used as an example before
always.
The game began. Yeah.
All right. This U.S. president was a classically trained pianist.
I'll bleep that.
And played 4 other instruments, including the saxophone, the clarinet, the accordion, and the violin. However, the tricky part is he never learned to read music.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm surprised, but I think I got it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we're locked in.
All right, I have a guess, but it's not a good one. I thought saxophone Clinton. I know Clinton played the sax, but that's about it.
Very famously.
Yeah.
On Arsenio Hall.
And the Animaniacs.
Animaniacs theme song, yeah.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
I was thinking the exact same thing, so I'm comfortable with that as well.
Should we just do it?
Yeah, we can go play.
So you get a little bit of a hint with the invention of the saxophone. So you can chop off like the first half of
Persons, yeah. So like right? The 1860s, Adolf Sax, 1880, something like that. Yeah. So that's good. And then the other clue that I heard was. So I don't think it's a living president. So I think that rules out. Ah.
The third clue is tricky.
So we're going. Are you thinking Tricky Dick?
Tricky Dick.
Nixon.
Nixon.
No. Okay.
Correct answer. Tricky Dick Nixon.
I'm shocked. But
good job. Okay.
Because like his entire presidency was like overshadowed by bad politics and scandal,
yeah,
and bad policy,
yeah.
But yeah,
like I don't know anything about him personally, so I'm not surprised. Yeah, because there's nothing to be surprised about.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for question four?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's favorite sports. Andrei Kirilenko's NBA career lasted 18 years. He was born in Ishevik. Where this product was first manufactured. His jersey number honored this product. What was manufactured there?
Looks like Matt was looking a little confident on that.
I will be the obligatory sports Matt.
Oh. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Okay, so these guys are locked in. I'm hearing that it's a product with a number associated with it that he wore.
Yeah.
So is it 57?
Yeah, it was Heinz 57 was the first thing coming to mind.
Are there any other products with a very specific number?
WD-40. I don't know where that's made.
I don't think it's. That's my best guess.
No, I was thinking it was.
We're not going to get anything else.
I was thinking it was Heinz 57.
All right, let's go with that.
All right. I think I watch the most basketball out of sports. I know. So, obligatory sports, Matt. They used to call him AK-47. He's Russian.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Kalashnikov, yeah.
That is correct. It's the AK-47, the Mikhail Kalashnikov.
Also good on French fries, the AK-47.
Yeah, that's where he was born, in the town where it was first manufactured.
Yeah, that makes sense. I forgot his initials are AK, yeah.
All right, category is hip-hop. Soccer is considered the most widely played sport on the planet. Similar to soccer, this number two sport is also more popular outside the U.S., name the number two played sport on Earth.
Ken wrote something down. That was my initial gut reaction. So,
and it also kind of fits the clue.
I'm happy to lock it in.
So I think we're in.
All right, Matt, what do you think here? We're Jen and Juice. We should get this hip hop question.
I'm kind of blanking.
I don't even know what rugby is. Is that kicking?
No, it's kind of like...
Occasionally.
Okay. Oh, that's a mallet. It has a mallet, right? I don't know.
Oh, no. Rugby is kind of like American football.
Oh, okay.
So but they don't wear pads.
And they know how to tackle people without killing each other.
Yeah, pretty much. I was thinking actually more like something off kilter, like badminton or something, because China plays a ton of that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, like if it's most popular, I was just thinking number of people. I know that's really random, but
I'm cool with it. It sounds gangster.
I guess we'll lock that in.
A second episode in a row with a badminton answer. I think you're on the right track here, going by countries with high population. But I know cricket is insanely popular in India and many other parts of the world. And crickets do hip hop, so we went with cricket.
Oh, totally.
Correct answer is cricket. And I mean, if we're going to have a badminton answer, can we just call it mention the word shuttlecock just for fun?
Absolutely, we can. And after five questions, looks like we at Not Worth the Squeeze have racked up 30 points. Jen and Juice, 20 points. So just a slight lead after five.
That's because they're laid back right now. Mm-hmm. But they'll come along. I'm not worried.
All right, we're on to question six. And the category is the Muppets. Kermit, Miss Piggy, and Fozzie Bear are probably the most famous Muppets, but only one Muppet has real human hands. What is that Muppet's name?
Okay, I know my Muppets fairly well. I think we're locked in.
Okay, so my first thought was Animal, the drummer, with like the hands. But yeah, because those, he has all the sticks. But those might be Muppet hands. Those might be...
Muppet hands.
You know what I mean? I feel like I could see a string in my head. Like
this question is comedy.
This is, yeah.
Is there any other human-handed ones that you can think
of? The first thing that popped into my head randomly was Swedish Chef.
Oh.
But I don't know if I misunderstood the question, because then we started talking about real versus Muppet hands, and then I got kind of lost, like, because I imagine like a puppet with like actual hands.
I think that's a better answer than animal. I'm cool with going with the Swedish Chef.
I can tell you wielding a knife does require more dexterity than
a Muppet hand could usually supply.
Than a drumstick would require, but...
Yeah, we said the Swedish Chef.
And you guys have a name for that when they pull it out of their butt? A Ken or something like that?
A Neil?
A Neil.
That's we'll a Neil,
that,
yeah.
We'll call that a Neil. That is indeed
that's a paraneal.
Swedish Chef is the correct answer.
Yes!
Nice.
One of my favorite Muppets of all time. All right, we're on to number 7. Category is Fly With Me. I apologize, this might be a little Midwest-based. That is a little hint for you there, but for you East Coast or West Coasters. If you leave DTW at 8 a.m., head west and land at ORD at 8 a.m., then head south and land at MCO around noon, what 3 cities have you visited?
And we are going to go ahead and lock in here.
I think ORD is Chicago. Am I right or wrong?
I honestly don't know. The only one that I have maybe an in on is maybe DTW is Home Cooking with Dawn with Detroit.
Okay, I'm cool with that. And then the other one was not MCU. Is it MCU?
MCO, I heard.
Okay, I was like the Marvel Universe.
Marvel, yeah. They were
MCO.
Next
Missouri.
Up, Wakanda.
Michigan. Montgomery? I don't know.
Montgomery would fit better because it would be sort of south. Yeah, I got
nothing
better.
Let's just
do
that.
We'll just move on.
All right, so Detroit, Chicago, and Montgomery. We had Detroit initially, which I think now we have confirmed is correct. Right?
I believe that is correct.
But yeah. We switched it to Dulles, Washington, D.C. And then we said Chicago for ORD, and then guessed Miami for the third one.
All right, well, these questions seem a lot easier when you write them, but apparently it's interesting how that works out. But so Detroit is correct for DTW. That is Detroit, Wayne County, DT, Wayne W for Wayne County. And, of course, I figured you guys would be all over the ORD. That is O'Hare, one of the few airports that don't line up at all with the city. And the
Based
other
on
one,
the orchard it was built on?
Yeah. Yep, it's Orchard Place where the Douglas C-40 or C-54 plant was located. Yep. And the other one doesn't line up at all where it's at is MCO, because that is based on McCoy Air Force Base, which is in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. Oh, dang.
Oh, you guys were close with saying MCU earlier then, because Disney pretty much owns Orlando. So,
yeah. Your hints were the times there a little bit. I kind of tried to lead you in there a little bit with how long it would take to get there. It actually takes zero time to get from Detroit to Chicago somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So, a 1-hour flight and you lose an hour.
Yep.
All right. So we are on to question 8. Not video games. Mostly associated with the U.S. military special forces, what does the abbreviation HALO stand for?
I have no jumping off point on this one. Do you have anything?
Atmospherical.
Logistic.
Land. Overlord.
There you go.
It's that literal HALO in the game HALO.
All right. We're locked in with nothing.
The first thing that popped into my head, for some reason, I was thinking about some kind of like paratrooping or skydiving, but I don't know where that came from. It was kind of just like a thought. It's all or nothing, but I'm thinking the O in military stuff is usually ordnance.
Okay.
But
land ordnance? I got nothing.
All right, so it sounds like 2 taps on this one. All right, what do we got?
All right, so yeah, sorry, my apologies. Sometimes they seem easier on paper, but this is, you almost fell into it when you said jumping in on this one, but it is with to do jumping, and it does have to do with skydiving because it's high altitude, low opening for parachute.
Oh, I have heard that before.
High altitude, low opening.
But I think I've heard it in the context of Tom Cruise doing it in that jump in Mission Impossible 5.
So that the low opening means pulling your chute really low to the ground?
Yeah, they jump from really high, sometimes even in like a space helmet, you know, type of thing with oxygen the whole nine yards. And they don't open the chutes until the last minute possible.
Yeah, as a way to come in like undetected under the radar. Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, let's get something. I don't know. I forget who the musical guy is, but that's the next category. Musicals. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. That's usually Neil, but I can maybe pull one off here.
All right, your category is musicals. This musical opened on Broadway in 1991. It features part of a real Huey helicopter as a set piece. What musical is that?
Man, did I ever tell you that I love Apocalypse Now the musical?
I'd watch that.
So I have a guess, and it's probably not a good one because I'm not a musicals person, but the only one that would have something with context like a helicopter would be maybe like Miss Saigon or something. And that's a newer musical, I think, just because
that seems old. 91 seems newer than Miss Saigon.
Yeah. I was just going from like the Saigon like helicopter, because I can only like picture like military helicopters after the Halo jump thing.
Okay, I mean, we can do Miss Saigon because I don't have anything. Let's do Miss Saigon then.
Oh shoot!
Even though I feel like that's really old, but I'm okay with it.
I thought it was older too.
I think the story's old because it is based on Madame Butterfly, which is like turn of the 20th century.
Yeah, I thought it was older too, but the same reason we said Miss Saigon.
Did we
correct
get
answer?
It?
Correct answer is Miss Saigon. Well done.
Yeah, nice.
I won't doubt you again.
Actually,
Matt.
Just the front part of the Huey helicopter.
Just the front.
They only have the front part.
It's all we had the budget for.
Lucky guess. Totally.
Yeah, nice. They didn't need the whole thing. Thank goodness.
That's where Matt and Neil really are. Is we only had the budget for two of us today. So.
All right. Question 10. Television. 29 of the top 30 most watched broadcasts of all time are Super Bowls. What TV show's finale is the only non-Super Bowl to make this list?
We're locked in.
My first thought was Seinfeld.
That was the first thing I popped in my head, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like just going with the gut with this one, even though it'll probably be something that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, let's not overthink it. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
So we're thinking of a little bit of a less bass-heavy theme song, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is... I just have Vietnam and helicopters on the brain. Although if this was Korea. Yeah, we said MASH.
It is the where they rumor is that everybody flush our toilets at the same time, and it does involve lots of Huey helicopters. It is MASH.
Dang.
All right, after 10 questions in the first round, looks like we have taken the lead at 60 points, but Jen and Juice following right behind at 40. So let's get to the swing round and see how it goes.
Swing round, we have a fan favorite from my trivia games. Hopefully it's the same here. And the category is, does it float? You're going to get 10 items, and you need to tell me whether or not they indeed float.
Just 50%. 50% guess on each.
Who used to do this on late night? Was
that
Letterman?
Letterman.
Yeah.
So surface tension does not come into play here. Just remember that. So does it float? All right. I'm going to give you 10 items. Here they go. A single fully ripe banana, unpeeled. A standard cat's eye marble. A single red 2x4 brick Lego piece. A standard uncut fresh pineapple. A 4 fluid ounce standard container of Elmer's glue. An unpeeled, fully ripe lime. An Apple iPhone 13 Pro Max. A single size 14 traditional Dutch wooden clog. A 1943 United States penny. And your final one is a standard 10-pound bowling ball.
All right, time to fill up the bathtub, and we'll be right back.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
All right, after some bathroom experimentation, we are back. And
Neil's toilet is wrecked.
Sorry. let's see if we've figured this out.
All right. Our first one was a single, fully ripe banana unpeeled.
For that one, we said no, it does not float.
We did say float because we figured he said mentioned the peel for a reason, and maybe that's the reason why it does float.
I did like to add a little extra words here and there, and some of them didn't mean anything. I think that was one of them. They do indeed float.
Okay.
Okay.
The next one is a standard cat's eye marble.
We believe marbles are made of pure glass, right? And I believe that would sink. Yeah?
Cat's eye might be hollow in the middle, though. See, this is the cleverness.
No. Well, we said no.
Yeah, we also said sink.
Yeah, I mean, they are a little hollow, but they are made of glass and they're round and they do sink pretty quick.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, the next one is a single red 2x4 brick Lego piece.
We said yes, it floats on this one, and we could kind of picture it, the hollow side up, just kind of floating on the water.
Yeah, we also went with float.
It does indeed float. There are Legos that sink, but that was the, I think that was right about the line where they start to sink. That one does indeed float. All right, the next one, a standard uncut fresh pineapple.
Now I don't know, because the banana was yes, but we said yes on the pineapple, it floats.
Yeah, we had some back and forth, but I think we ultimately went with a sink.
That is yet another fruit that does indeed float.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I heard some conversation about, but they grow on the ground, but you do see them if you're, you know, trapped on a desert island. I think you can pick up a pineapple out of the ocean every now and then.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. The next one is a 4 fluid ounce standard container of Elmer's glue.
Based on the density, we said no, it will not float.
I think for this one, we said it would float.
Yeah, we put float.
I'm pretty sure I dropped Elmer's glue in in water before.
Dropping some pretty heavy Elmer's glue back in the day.
Yeah, that size container with that much surface and inside the container itself, it does indeed float. I think there's so much air in the container, I think that helps it float. All right, an unpeeled, fully ripe lime.
We say yes, it floats.
We agree.
Same here.
So, yeah, this one's kind of weird. A lemon floats all day long, but a lime, for some odd reason, does not float. It sinks. Whether you peel it or not, they sink to the bottom. I actually spent a lot of time looking at that, like, because it was such a weird answer.
I'm shocked.
All right, the next one is an apple. A lot of fruit in here. An Apple iPhone 13 Pro Max.
The fact that he says Pro Max makes me a little worried because maybe it has enough surface area to float, but could tell you from previous experience, my iPhones haven't, so we said sync.
We went with Float just because of like the specificity of the model, and maybe that's what they've been working on.
Yeah, they always like to make them more water resistant, so we kind of thought Float.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I made them oddly specific sometimes for no apparent reason. That was another one of those. That was, yeah, they sink like a rock.
Ah!
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, the eighth one is a single size 14 traditional Dutch wooden clog.
I don't know.
Dutch boy sound.
I think this one is big enough to support its own weight, so we said Float.
I don't know too much wooden items that don't float.
Yeah, we went with Float too.
That one does indeed float. Even if you fill up with water, it'll still float. All right. Number nine was a 1943 United States penny.
Just can't picture it floating.
No, those were steel pennies, and I'm pretty sure they don't float. But
yeah, we also said sink.
We also said sink. Mm-hmm. I was picturing throwing a penny in a fountain, and I just don't see a lot of floating pennies, so that's when we went that.
Yeah, I've never seen a penny float either. Steel or copper. So yeah, that did indeed sink. All right, your last one is a standard 10-pound bowling ball.
See, this one's interesting because I think the 10 pounds here does matter, because I think like a 16-pound bowling ball does sink, but a 10-pound, we guessed floats.
Oh, we said sink. We figured that was just a freebie.
Yeah, there's no freebies here. A 12-pound is the difference. At 12 pounds, they kind of float. 12 pounds and under, they float, and 12 pounds and over, they sink.
Dang. Nice.
So something to do with, you know, what they're made out of, and the 10 pounder is just enough to that they actually float.
Following the swing round, we have increased our score to 95, and Jen and Juice has increased their score to 70 points.
That's going to go in the Triviality Hall of Fame as one of my top 10 all-time favorite team names.
Jen and Juice? Yeah. Or not worth the squeeze?
No, Jen and Juice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, let's dig into round two.
Question one of round two is hometown heroes. What pharmaceutical company, which happens to be located about 2 miles from my current location, had the first FDA-approved COVID vaccination?
All right, we are locked in.
Because it's what? It's Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson.
And Moderna? I was thinking Moderna because they're a newer company and like I don't know where they're from. I think Pfizer is from, like, they're based in Europe, or their like headquarters is in Europe. So that was going to be my guess, but I don't have strong feelings about that.
Okay. We can do Moderna. I don't know whether Merck made Moderna. I don't know anything about it. But let's just do Moderna.
So you guys are going with Moderna?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We are going to go with Pfizer because I remember it being the first approval, I believe. But though I am Team Moderna, I got the SpikeVax, which is much cooler sounding than all the other names, which I think is what they called their vaccine officially now, right? SpikeVax. Yeah, we're going Pfizer though.
Okay, yeah. We used to joke early on that we could walk outside and get vaccinated because the production facilities, I can almost see it from my house, and it is in Portage, Michigan, although very annoying for us. Everybody said it was from Kalamazoo. That is indeed Pfizer.
Ah,
sorry.
I believe their headquarters is New Jersey, but their production facility is here in Portage.
Hate it when people say that you're from Kalamazoo instead of Portage.
Yeah,
just right? Ruffles my feathers.
All right, we're question two of round two. BIG is the category. While they are not here to pump you up, they are nicknamed Hans and Franz and take up a lot of space. These two land vehicles are the largest on the planet and were built for what U.S. government agency?
Yeah, we can lock in.
Yeah, I was thinking it's probably something very specific, but also like large, like passenger, maybe. So trains could be.
But why would the military want? Or is it? Did he say?
He just said government agency. He didn't say.
Oh, okay. The Army? The Marine Corps? Do you want to go Army?
Okay.
Okay, we'll go Army.
Okay, Jeff had a line on this one.
Yeah, it's funny because they've only done an impressive 5,000 miles or so between the two of them at a very, very slow pace. I think that's because their principal job these days is moving the space shuttle. So we said NASA.
Oh, that would make sense.
That is correct. Those are the two NASA space crawlers that move the shuttle from the the hangar bay to the where they blast off.
They're so large and they weigh so much that they don't pave the road they drive on, because the gravel just gets crushed to dust every time they drive over it. So cool.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. I did get to see these once. I didn't see them in action, but I saw them sitting still, and they look, that's, I guess, probably about the same thing if you watch them in action and sitting still. Not much difference.
Yeah. Yeah, people walk around alongside them to, like, make sure that they're doing okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you'd outstrip their walking pace pretty fast.
All right, we're on to question three. Former power couples. This is a long one, so stay with me. Starting with Bennifer to describe Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Power couple nicknames took off in the early 2000s. Around 2005, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie became the biggest power couple around. Bradgelina is technically a misnomer, however, as Brad Pitt's real name is not Brad. He actually shares a legal name with actor Liam Neeson. What is his legal first name?
So I have no idea.
What would Liam Neeson's first name be?
I also have no idea.
Is he Irish?
Liam Neeson is Irish.
Is a very Irish name.
I thought his name was Liam.
That is a pretty Irish name.
Should we say Liam?
I don't think it's that obvious.
No, I don't think so either. I really don't know where to go otherwise. John.
Okay.
John.
Okay. I think Liam is short for William or Willem.
William sounds fine to me. I mean, I guess it makes sense, shortening wise.
Okay, let's just go with William.
And we're saying John Pitt.
Well, one of two is correct, and his legal first name is William.
Nice.
Is Liam Neeson's legal first name William?
I had no idea. I thought Liam was generally a name on its own.
It's funny, I never really put much stock into names, but when I think of the name William Pitt, he's way less sexy to me.
It's true.
All right, we are on to the fourth question of round two, and the category is whodunit. The final scene of the 79-80 season of Dallas was an episode titled A House Divided. It ended with J.R. Ewing being shot twice. One of the most popular cliffhangers of all time, everyone has heard about it, but few remember the answer to who shot J.R. So the question is, who shot J.R.?
Wasn't it Maggie? Maggie Simpson?
I believe she shot Mr.
Do you have any idea?
Burns, Ken.
Do you have any idea here?
He wasn't shot. It was a dream all along. I know Dallas did some nonsense, but I can't remember who shot JR.
Peggy. It was Peggy, right?
I don't know.
I'm just making
it. Oh, okay.
I don't know. We're going to say Peggy because we haven't seen Dallas.
Matt, have you seen Dallas?
No, but I know this is famous, and I know I've heard the answer to this before, but I was going to say what Jeff said with, like, there's some kind of, like, meta thing where they retconned it by saying it was a dream.
Maybe he shot himself then?
What if we say nobody? Because technically, it wouldn't be wrong.
JR walks into the house, sees a stranger, pulls a gun, and fires. It was himself in the mirror.
I'm cool with doing nobody. That's what you feel. Because I have, like, no frame of reference. For some reason, I keep, like, picturing Jackie Collins. I don't know.
I don't know the names of anybody else. That's the problem. So we would have
nobody
to
is a good good hedge answer.
I think we should go stick with nobody.
All right, we'll hedge.
And we're just saying Peggy.
I guess.
Peggy from Dallas.
All right, there was a whole plot line where he dreamed the whole thing, but I think that was he dreamed his death. I think he died from the shot, and then that was a dream, if I remember. Of course, I'm much older than you guys, so I was actually alive during this time. But he was shot by his sister-in-law and mistress,
Peggy.
Kristen Shepherd.
Damn.
Not Peggy. All right, here's our fifth question of the second round. The category is I Do What I Want. During the Revolutionary War and against the advice of Congress, George Washington ordered his troops to be inoculated against what disease?
We're locked in.
Yeah, we're good.
Pox? Some sort of pox?
Do you want to just say, like, flu? Because, like, I know at one point it went through cold period.
Okay, the flu.
I don't forget about it. All right, we can lock that in so we don't stall.
Yeah, flu's fine.
Yeah, I think the flu vaccine is kind of an uphill battle since it mutates so often. One of the early vaccines, or I should say inoculations,
I think
it
the
wasn't
first
a vaccine in, yeah.
Yeah.
But smallpox, I believe.
Yeah, Edward Jenner.
The correct answer is indeed smallpox.
They were just small, so they're easier to inoculate against.
Right.
All right, with that, it brings the scores to 125 for not worth the squeeze. We're kind of worth the squeeze today. And Jen and Juice at 80 points.
Time to update our Tinder profiles.
Question 6 of round 2 is war. Seems to be kind of the theme today. War is a category. Over 2 years after the invasion of Poland in 1939, on December 11th, 1941, the U.S. finally declared war on what two countries?
We're locked in.
No, I don't really, I'm not a big history person, so what do you want to say?
Would that be like
Germany?
Germany and Japan? Or I don't know who the second one would be. Like, sounds like we agree on Germany.
Pearl Harbor. I don't know. Sure, we can say Germany and Japan.
Okay.
So I think they declared war on Japan like right away.
Yeah, I think December 7th or 8th, right after the attack happened.
Yeah. So a couple days later, they'd probably get their allies, Germany and Italy.
Ah.
So yeah, December 7th is Pearl Harbor, and they declared war the next day on Japan. So not until the 11th, after Germany declared war on us, did we declare war on Italy and Germany. All right, question 7 of round 2. Category is time after time. The continental U.S. has only 4 time zones. How many time zones does Russia have? It also is the same number worn by the Polish canon, Sebastian Janikowski, and by the sure-handed Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, we're locked in.
So Seabass was a kicker, and he was a Raider for a long time. And then Fitz was a, I think he's retired now, but he was Arizona Cardinals receiver. And so my gut tells me 2, but my gut's been wrong a lot today, so I don't feel really good about it. But usually kickers have low numbers too, so that kind of confirmation bias there.
Let's do 2. I have no idea about sports or Russia's time zone, so I will trust your gut.
Sure. Okay.
I can't remember if kickers are like quarterbacks where most have their numbers between like 1 and 15, but I'm pretty sure it's definitely lower than 15. As soon as you said Larry Fitzgerald, though, I was certain that it is 11.
That's correct. I really just wrote that question so I could say a Polish canon, Sebastian Janikowski, who's my all-time favorite kicker, Florida State alum. So, yes, the correct answer is indeed 11.
He always seemed like he, and I don't know him at all in any way. I've never seen any interviews or anything off the field, but he always just seemed like he was just there to kick and like he didn't care about anything else. Like he just wanted to kick 60
yards. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, pretty much.
he's the John Daly of kickers is basically what he is. Question 8 of round 2. The category is before and after. So this is a classic before and after where the first and second answer will combine to make the correct answer. The question is, what is the atomic bomb's partner to Little Boy's name that is a Zack Snyder movie from 2013?
We're locked in.
Yep.
Bit of a war buff, are you, Dan?
Yeah, it seems to be coming out, huh? Although they seem, the questions are about war, yet you have another way to get to
them. Yeah, tangential.
Yeah.
Yeah, that word, whatever that means.
Well, is that Watchmen?
So the only other Zack Snyder movies I can think of are like Man of Steel and Justice League off the top of my head. The only reason, like, well, on top of not wanting to talk us out of another answer, he said atomic bomb, right?
And yes.
So, yes.
So Watchmen would make sense in the sense that Dr. Manhattan, atomic bomb, maybe it's like kind of meta. I don't know.
I know, but what would be the first thing? Because the first thing would be the first part of the answer, right? Because it leads into each other.
Yeah, it's the atomic bomb name first, and then it leads into the Zack Snyder movie.
And then it leads into the Zack Snyder movie. So it would have to be like something Watchmen. It's Fat Boy, and wasn't like a girl's name too, like Big Bertha, or I don't know what the other bomb's name was.
What if it's like the little boy's partner is something man? Because if it's Man of Steel, that would make sense.
Okay. All right. Do you want to do what? Just like Fat Man of Steel? Like,
yeah, I'll go with whatever you're good with.
Okay. We'll just say Fat Man of Steel, I guess.
What a poll. What a poll. Fat Man of Steel, for sure.
Bravo. It is indeed Fat Man of Steel.
You got Neil back there? You got Neil back there with you making these polls?
Dang.
The Reservoir.
Well done. All right. Question 9 of round 2. The category is not Tom and Jerry. So Ben and Jerry was founded in 1978 with their first flavor being the super exotic vanilla. Throughout the 90s, their bestseller was chocolate chip cookie dough, but taking over the top spot in 2000 and still holding on to it is what flavor? Dave Chappelle would definitely approve.
All right. So we have selected a Ben & Jerry's flavor that we assume is pretty popular, though we can't really link it to the Dave Chappelle clue, but we're going with it.
Okay. I think we have an answer as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going with Cherry Garcia because I always see it. Anywhere I see Ben & Jerry's, I see the Cherry Garcia.
Yeah. Jen and I talked about it, and I like vaguely remember some like weird Dave Chappelle and I think Jim Brewer movie called Half Baked. So that's what we lock in with.
That's it. You got it. I'm pretty sure it's like Half Baked Brownie. What do you got, Don?
Another fantastic pull, two in a row there. The correct answer is indeed Half Baked, Dave Chappelle movie. All right. Question 10, round 2. The category is Measure Up. Most people know the Richter scale measures earthquakes. What natural phenomena does the Saffir-Simpson scale measure?
All right, we are going to go ahead and lock in.
Tsunamis?
I don't know if I've even ever heard of this thing.
Well, I live in California, so yeah. Weather doesn't really affect me.
How would it?
You want to just do Dorothy 2 tornado?
Sure, I don't know how they measure tornadoes.
All right, let's just say tornado.
And we went with waves, but we don't know either.
Well, actually, the correct answer was spoken, however, not chosen. Tornadoes are use some sort of F, I think. They're like F. I don't know what the F stands for off the top of my head, but this indeed measures hurricanes.
Okay.
The scorpions would be so disappointed in us, Ken.
True. Concluding regulation today, Jen and Juice have pulled in an even 100 points. We're in the lead at Not Worth the Squeeze with 155. But it's not over until the final round, so let's get those categories.
All right, here's your categories for the final round. Infants, toddlers, teens, young adults, and adults.
The wagers are now in, and both teams have opted to do 15s all the way down. So we will see how it shakes out. Let's get the questions. Could be a come-from-behind victory.
Okay, our first question in the category of infants. Ann Turner, an American mystery novelist of the Brandy O'Bannon series, was the model seen on what food product since 1928? Toddlers. Everyone's favorite toddler, the Rugrats, feature Tommy, Chucky, and the Bratty Angelica. One of Tommy's best friends is a twin. What are the rhyming names of these twins? Hopefully Loki doesn't stab one of them. The category of teens. What movie, released in 1984, including in Michigan, was the first movie in theaters with a PG-13 rating? It was also rated PG-13 again when its remake was released in 2012. The category of young adults. This Dance Mom star, Haribo aficionado, and Nickelodeon actress was the youngest to appear on The Masked Singer, donning the T-Rex costume in season 3. She was also one of Time's most influential people in 2020 and recently came out as part of the LGBTQ community. And your final category is adults. Two things are certain, death and taxes. But which amendment of the U.S. Constitution established the income tax? If you need more help, the math nerds will tell you it's the smallest number with exactly 5 divisors.
All right, we will think about the answers and we'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and get more time to actually play the games you love with the IGN Daily Update Podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. You'll hear everything from Comic-Con coverage to the huge Diablo 4 launch. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts.
All the answers are now in, so let's get the questions one more time and see what the results are going to be.
Okay, in the category of infants, Ann Turner, an American mystery novelist of the Brandy O'Bannon series, was the model seen on what food product since 1928?
This one we're pretty sure is Gerber baby food. We think that's the Gerber baby. And we bet 15 points all the way down. Both teams bet 15 points all the way down.
That would make sense with the category. We went with Little Debbie, though. Little Debbie cakes.
Yeah, one team getting points. It is indeed the Gerber baby. And the question in the category of toddlers. Everyone's favorite toddlers, the Rugrats, feature Tommy, Chucky, and the bratty Angelica. One of Tommy's best friends is a twin. What are the rhymy names of these twins? Hopefully Loki doesn't stab one of them.
Yeah, we went with Phil and Lil.
Yes, we too went with Phil and Lil, and I believe that was not Phil Coulson.
Correct, not Phil Coulson, who still lives to this day.
Well, we'll
indeed,
see.
Was Phil.
Who knows? Because they wiped Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out of the canon, apparently, now after I watched, you know, five or six seasons of that, struggling through it.
Really? That's out of the canon now?
That's out of the canon now.
She's like, yeet.
So you correct. Phil and Lil was indeed the correct answer.
Okay.
Category of teens. What movie, released in 1984 nationwide, including in Michigan, was the first movie in theaters with a PG-13 rating? It was also rated PG-13 again when its remake was released in 2012.
This was by far the most difficult for us. We know the fact that PG-13 was invented for Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom, but the question stated it was the first movie released nationwide in theaters. And quite frankly, I had no idea from that point. With the category of teens, we went with Stand By Me.
That's good. We went with, Matt had an idea of House of Wax.
Only
it was redone with Paris.
Yeah.
It was redone with Paris Hilton, and it's a teen movie, teen thriller or teen horror. So that's what we went with, House of Wax.
All right. So I do believe Indiana Jones prompted the creation of the PG-13, but it was still actually PG rated. The first one, your clue were there was the Michigan clue, because the Michigan Wolverines was the clue. And that is Red Dawn. Wolverines.
That was PG-13. Holy shit. That's an R for sure. Today.
All right, young adults. This Dance Mom star, hair bow aficionado, and Nickelodeon actress was the youngest to appear on The Masked Singer, donning the T-Rex costume in season 3. She was also one of the Times' most influential people in 2020, and recently came out as part of the LGBTQ+ community.
Just fitting as many of these clues together as we could, we ended up with Demi Lovato.
So Jen had an in, and it sounded familiar to me, so we went with JoJo. I don't know if it needs to be more specific or not.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you can give me the last name. That'd be great, yep.
Yeah, so I said the last name was Siwa, because that sounded right to me, but I'm not entirely sure. So that's what
I just know it's JoJo.
JoJo Siwa.
It is indeed JoJo Siwa. Nice pull.
I still don't know who the hell that is, but I love it.
That was written for my daughter, who the minute she showed up, before she, like, the minute she spoke a word on The Masked Singer, she knew who it was. Incredible.
The kids are crazy for JoJo Siwa. I remember I was at a mall one time, and there's a line all the way through the mall to see somebody named JoJo Siwa. I'm like, I don't even know who this person is one bit.
You're not their demographic, I don't think.
Yeah. And I don't have any youngsters.
30-year-old males. No, I don't think that's the demographic there.
I hope not.
Yeah, you might get a visit for that. All right, final category.
Why don't you have a seat?
Stand by, and I'll be watching.
Final category is adults. Two things are certain, death and taxes. But which amendment of the U.S. Constitution established the income tax? If you need more help, math nerds will tell you it's the smallest number with exactly 5 divisors.
So luckily there's a math nerd sitting right across
from
me.
Yeah, so it turns out we needed the math help. I didn't know it offhand, but I figured there's like 26, 7 amendments, so how hard would it be to work through the math? And we came upon 16 as our final answer.
Oh, shoot. That's right. We got kind of tied up and they didn't want to stall any longer, so we logged in 12, but I'm pretty sure you're right at 16.
Right you are. It is number 16. Everybody's least favorite amendment.
That will conclude today's game with the best name award for sure. But unfortunately, coming up a little short with 85 points is Jen and Juice. But turns out we are worth the squeeze today with 170 points. We're today's cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Good job, guys.
Congratulations to us.
I guess, yeah.
I hate to say it.
I don't know how we did that one. I mean, you and I have both been struggling today, so we just we got lucky, I guess.
Yep. Very well played, though, Jen and Juice. Jen and Matt, we want to thank you guys for joining us so much today and for being our supporters. Jen, any final words today?
No, this was fun. Thanks for having me on. I'll give a shout-out to my wonderful husband who let me hog the computer to do this. So... Yeah,
and just a little behind the scenes, Jen was a last-minute Matt replacement, so we appreciate your participation in a moment's notice, basically, today.
You saved our asses.
You saved our asses. And Matt Iguchi, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for your patronage. Any final words today?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Sorry the other guy's going to be here. Huge thanks, Jen, for teaming up with me, and Dawn for hosting. And I'll also, I guess, shout out my wife. She listens to the podcast too, so.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt.
You're listening to the podcast, you mean?
Both. Both a shout out and listening. But Don, thank you very much for writing that excellent game. Great questions today. Lots of nice little hints in there. Any shout outs for you?
Well, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't say shout out to my wife and family, 3 kids. And my big group of trivia players who I've been with for a year and a half or so, and they got me where I'm at today. And a huge shout out to Louis, the king of the playtesters on the crop. He was instrumental in helping me with this. So,
yep, Louis, your crown is in the mail. But that will conclude today's game.
I have a shout out.
Okay, what's your shout out?
I want to shout out the fact that everybody on this show today was a Patreon supporter. And so thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for making the show possible.
Yeah, Neil doesn't get the right to criticize us for forgetting our Patreon plugs when he's gone, if he's having a party without us. So no thanks to those guys, Matt and Neil. Thanks to our guests today. That was Jeff, I'm Ken, and that was Triviality.
I don't know if you can provide clarification, but are we talking about like number of digits or like actual human hands?
Actual human hands.
Ooh.
Unmuppeted? Like they're not inside the puppet?
Correct.
Unmuppeted.